Your beepers and cell phones, and do not bring any beverages or food into the church. Refreshments must remain in the Duke Room. Hi, my name is Robin, and I am an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Michael C. and Sue, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Anthony will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Anthony. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, buddy. The AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Patrick will read the steps.
Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Amy will read the traditions.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Amy. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Alicia.
Hi, I'm Alicia. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Atlanta Group. My sponsor is Peggy Byrne. My sobriety date is 12/15/99, and I try and live in 9 through 12. And, wow, I'm pregnant. I get hot. Sorry. it's true. But it's funny. When Amanda first asked me to speak a few weeks ago, she's like, I want to get you on the calendar. And I'm like, are you kidding? Because I'm due in like 3 weeks. And she said, no, you know, I'd love to get you on. And I, for some reason, I felt like being pregnant excused me from being like an alcoholic, which is not true. And I said, you know, well, I'll get back to you with dates because doctor's appointments, whatever. I said, but the way I like to work it is just please call me the night before and let me know, because if I have any advance notice, I stress out beyond belief. It's just I like to know the night before, and that way I don't have that much time to think about it. So she called me yesterday. And I had left my cell phone at home yesterday. So when I got home last night, I noticed there was this message from Amanda, and it was about 8:30. And I listened to the message, and I'm thinking to myself, sweet, she called me at like 11. It's now 8:30. She probably got somebody else lined up. I call her up, and I'm like, so? She's like, can you do it? I'm like, yes. And, you know, ultimately, I learned early on never to say no to an AA commitment, that AA should always come first. And, you know, and what a blessing it is to be speaking tonight, because A, it's my home group. B, I'm speaking with my prayer partner, James, who, I mean, what is it odd or is it God? You know, and I'm speaking with Stephanie, and Stephanie was one of the people who I'll never forget walking into this meeting. It was very overwhelming in the beginning. Like, I walked in, I sat down, I sat closer to the back, and I got online afterwards, but I remember this girl that I came in with, she and I sat together, and I was like, are you going to raise your hand at the break? Because, you know, they ask anybody counting days, and everybody raises their hand. I'm like, are you going to raise your hand? She's like, yeah, I'm going to raise my hand. So we both decided to raise our hands. And as we were online waiting to thank the speaker at the end of the meeting, I'll never forget, Stephanie came up to me and introduced herself, and Ava came up to me as well. And a lot of women came up to me, and they brought me over to the interim sponsorship people, and, you know, and I've been a member ever since, and it's been an incredible blessing. And, you know, and I look around at people who have gone ahead of me and practiced this program, and, you know, going back to never saying no to an AA commitment, I think about, you know, I think about Van and all the times that I would call Van as he lie very ill in bed, and he would have time to take my call and just talk to me when he could barely breathe. And how self-absorbed and selfish can I be that I can't give back 10 minutes of my time? I mean, there are just amazing powers of example in this group. And anyway, so what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. You know, what it was like, I drank a lot. I'll be honest, I was a binge drinker. I loved to drink. You know, I, for those of you who heard me Thursday night, I apologize. I'm going to reiterate some of it. But, you know, I heard a speaker up here say once that there were people who black out and people who pass out. And when you pass out, you're passed out, you're doing nothing. But when you black out, you're busy. And I was always very busy. So I was very busy until I got to the point where I passed out, and then I would wake up like some of those people you see in horror movies when they wake up and they're like, and that was kind of like my reaction, because I was always very busy during these blackouts that I never knew, like, what I said, what I did, where I was. And it was, you know, the recurring phone calls the next day as to like, okay, so last night, how'd it go? You know, and slowly, like, the story would start to develop of, like, what I did. And either it was a good night or it was a bad night. And I could be, I know it's hard to believe, I could be a little Jekyll and Hyde-ish. And, you know, so what slowly started to happen is my usual friends, like, they didn't want to hang out with me anymore. Oh, my God, I'm so hot. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. So, so my usual friends didn't want to hang out with me anymore. So I started hanging out with, you know, like people at the bar. And a lot of people at work who drank like I did. And it was all about my drinking friends. You know, in the big book, it talks about, Bill talks about his fair weather friends. And when he, you know, slowly got sober, how he realized that they were just fair weather friends. And I so paraphrase that. But that's really what my friends became. They were people who drank like I did, who liked to stay out till all hours like I did. And, you know, slowly my good friends, my family, like, they didn't want to be around me. You know, I'll never forget, my mother said to me at one point, she said, you know, you have no room to criticize your sister when you're behaving like this. And I was like, oh, you know, for my mother to point it out, who didn't really see me all that much, it was pretty bad. And, I mean, ultimately, what got me here is that my hangovers were god-awful. As, you know, I've said before, like, putting a gun to my head would be better sometimes than some of the hangovers that I dealt with. I thought the shakes were natural. Shakes are not natural. Normal people don't get the shakes. I had the shakes every time after I drank. I would be in bed until the routine was like, golly knows what time I got home. After the blacking out part, I passed out. And I would stay passed out till probably like 4 in the afternoon. I would get up in between, and I would be praying to the porcelain god at all times of the day during that. And I would make my way to the couch, put an ice pack on my eyes. I mean, I couldn't keep anything down. I couldn't keep any fluids, any food, anything. It took me a full day to, like, recover. I mean, it was just awful. And I remember I picked up the phone one day, and I said to my roommate, I'm going to call AA. And she's like, good idea. And I was a little insulted because I thought she and I, like, drank a lot, alike. And, you know, bottom line, I took down the number, put on yellow sticky. I did nothing with the number, was out drinking again. Next time I called Intergroup, and God bless the people at Intergroup for being there to answer my call. And I said to this guy, I'm looking for a meeting. And he said, all right, where are you located? And I told him, and he said, well, there's a meeting down at Straight 12. And I was like, well, do I have to say anything at the meeting? He said, no, but why do you ask? I'm like, well, it's my first meeting. And he was like, oh, you're about to embark on the best journey of your life. And I'm like, okay. And so I went to this meeting, P.S., I went to this meeting and, you know, was overwhelmed with numbers, eventually made my way here because, ironically enough, I met my sponsor in church before I actually met her in the rooms of AA, and I went to a beginner meeting at Fog Lifters, and my sponsor, my current sponsor, Peggy, was speaking. And it was another one of those, like, is it odd or is it God? You know, is he sending you a sign here? And she and this gentleman, Richard, were talking about the Atlanta group and the energy and all this. And that's when we decided to come on a Tuesday night. And, you know, I'm forever grateful that I came here because this group lives in the solution. And that's how I've learned to live my life, or I try to live my life to the best of my ability in the solution that AA offers. And because when I first came in, I went to a few meetings and they talked about the book. And I'll never forget one meeting, they broke into little groups. I had like 2 days, I think. And they were talking about step 3. I was clueless on what any of the steps were. And I remember we went into little groups sharing, and I just sort of like I just ranted about like, I'm not sure if I'm an alcoholic, why am I here? I don't know, you know. And then the person next to me who was speaking was like, well, I guess we'll go back to talking about step 3. And I was like, here I was going on and on about it. I'm not, whatever. But so anyway, when I came to the Atlanta group, one of the first things my sponsor started doing me, and for those of you who don't know, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. It's our basic text, and it tells us precisely how to recover from alcoholism. She got me into the steps. And, you know, and she made me, I'll never forget, my first year, I was incredibly active in AA. It became, because for me, I didn't know really how to, I don't want to say, not socialize, but like, a lot of my socializing was drinking, so I needed to fill my nightlife with other stuff. And I started doing a lot of things in AA. I became very involved in a lot of the stuff that they had to do. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that. And because, you know, my sponsor also says that, you know, we get on a pink cloud and you never get off it. Your pink cloud just goes up and down. And my experience is that I've had tremendous times in sobriety. I've also had times where I have thought to myself, why me? How could this be me? Poor me, kind of thing. And I've had other people who have walked through what I've walked through and have helped me get through it. And no matter what I've been going through, I've often found that there's been somebody who's walked through it before me. And at the times that I don't understand why I'm going through it, I understand at a later date, because there was something that happened in my life that, I was about to be married, my fiance went out, couldn't understand it at the time. 6 months later, I had a woman come into my life who was a sponsee who was going through the exact same thing. And so that was how my experience, strength, and hope could also help her. And, just on that note, I have to say, too, my husband called me today, and he's like, I'm really excited to hear about your experience, strength, and hope tonight and how my at-home sponsorship has really helped you along. So with that, so not only do I have to thank Peggy, but my husband, too, for all the, am I done? I'm goodbye. Sorry. Thank you. Goodbye.
Our second 10-minute speaker is James.
My name is James McClain, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm really happy to be here. Actually, I'd rather be doing ashtrays, brooms, and chairs, but like Alicia, it's not about what I want these days. It's about what I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and that's part of the gift of my association with Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor, when he gets me to do something, he talks about this is what I get to do. This is an opportunity for you to humble yourself. This is an opportunity for you to make amends. This is an opportunity for you to do all these things as opposed to something I have to do. And he's right, because I wouldn't have even thought about it in the past. If I got one up on you, good for me, bad for you. See what happens tomorrow. I adore Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the most important thing in my life. You guys offer me the most important connection to how to live life normally that I've ever had. And without it, I can't even imagine where I'd be. I know where I was, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. And the only thing that keeps me from going back there is my connection with you guys. And as Alicia pointed out, how you guys told me how to go through this book. I get a lot of relief by coming in here and identifying and doing ashtrays, brooms, and chairs, and doing service. But I get real freedom by working the steps and clearing out the things that are blocking me in my life, and making amends, making retribution for the harms that I've done, and developing a relationship with my higher power, which allows me to do everything else in my life. So a little bit about what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. And what I was like is very similar to all of us. We've all been there. I used to have a little bit too much to drink on a regular basis. And that was never my plan. My plan was just to go out and meet a friend for I'm just gonna have a few. I'm just gonna have a little bit of wine with dinner. I just want to take the edge off. And the problem is I always went right past edge off to puke, it really wasn't my plan. I was raised well. I had good parents. I had a mom and a father who loved me and tried to give me good direction. I had good people in my life, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't hear it. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. As we know, when you go right past edge off, if all I want to do is take edge off, the work is getting to me a little bit too much, and I just want to take the edge off, and I go right past edge off, and I go to ending up in the wrong place with the wrong person, doing things I shouldn't even be thinking about, much less doing. And like Alicia, you wake up with the horror in the morning of, what did I do? With whom did I do it? How am I going to get rid of it? And for me, the only way to get rid of it, not, okay. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we learned that the problem resides in ourselves. The problem resides in me. And that's one of the gifts of Alcoholics Anonymous, is I've learned that no matter who else may be involved. The only one that I have any control over, any power over, is myself. So Alcoholics Anonymous is about awakening. Alcoholics Anonymous is about taking responsibility and realizing, always bring it back to what's my part in it. So when I meant getting rid of it, I meant here, the real source of all my troubles. And that's part of the gifts of Alcoholics Anonymous. Those are the things that I've realized in being here. You know, back in the day, you guys were the problem. You know, if only, you know, she hadn't done that, if only he hadn't done that, everything would have been fine. You know, so basically my life was, I'd get up in the morning and not being an alcoholic, I wouldn't drink, but because I had these terrible jitters as well, I found that a couple of big sugar buns and coffee, you know, half coffee, half sugar, and a few of those funny smelling cigarettes would take the edge off. And then I'd go to work. And I kind of dress like I'm dressed now. It probably wouldn't be dry cleaned. It would, you know, I learned if you hang something in the shower and let the steam, it'll kind of make it look reasonable. Most of my clothes were stapled together because I was too afraid to go to dry cleaners. I was at the end, you know, what it was like for me at the end was I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go shopping. I couldn't buy food. If you looked in my refrigerator, there was Doritos. And I usually didn't eat those. You know, at night, I was didn't want to be an alcoholic, so my drink was a glass of half apple cider and half scotch. You know, and my thinking was, I'm getting some nutrition here. There was no fun left in it. You know, I was drinking just to shut my mind down. I was drinking to just not hear the voices in my head. I say it every single time, but I say it every time because it means something to me. You've heard the expression, the lights are on and nobody's home. You know, my lights were off and everybody was home. Just yak, 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 yak. You know, and the only way to shut up those voices was to drink. You know, and that was the only tool that I had, was just to shut up the voices with the drinking. And what I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is that that's not true. There are a lot of different ways to shut up the voices. What happened was you guys prayed me into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, you hold hands at the end of the meeting and you pray for the sick and suffering alcoholic. Don't run, don't leave before you do that because it saved me. I don't know how else I got here. I had something come to me. Nobody in my family or my friends was sober, and something came to me and said, if I can't stop these voices tonight, you know, I'm going to come to a meeting. And so I took everything that I had, you know, dropped, smoked, you know, rolled in it, drank all night long. And I know that I must have been, you know, physically gone, but I was, my brain was there. I just couldn't, the guilt, the shame, the remorse, the torture, the four horsemen just wouldn't leave me alone. And by God's grace, I ended up at a meeting over by Port Authority. And as I walked there's people nodding out on the street, and I said, I don't live on the street. You know, as I walked into the meeting, this guy ran over and hugged me, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm in the wrong place. You know, I wanted to leave because I realized I was in the wrong place, and there was a big guy with big muscles and lots of gold around his neck by the door, and I knew it was his job to keep people like me from leaving. So, being a chicken, I didn't leave. And what happened is I cried. You know, this guy told a story about crack, and I know nothing about crack. But I identified with the feelings. I identified with his being desperate. I identified with his having no place to turn. And I identified, and I grasped onto something I hadn't had in a long time, which was hope. You know, they told me to come back. People don't tell me to come back. You know, my family told me don't come back. You know, they did everything but tell me they were celebrating Christmas in June. I mean, they had no choice. I could remember that date. But for the most part, I just wasn't involved. My life had evolved to the point where I had blankets staple gunned over my windows. My life was very, very small. I didn't answer the phone. I didn't answer mail. I didn't do anything. My life was minuscule. I'd pass out either in my chair or maybe I'd make it to bed. I'd get up in the morning and I'd do it all over again. And this was a day after day after day. And I kept saying, this time it's going to be different. I'm going to do it differently. And I just couldn't do it. Somehow, God's grace got me in here and got me not to have the first drink. All of us have that opportunity. It's really hard when I try to figure out what it is that gets to keep me in here versus so many wonderful people that haven't been able to stay that I just adore. It breaks my heart when I see wonderful people come in here and why don't they stay? Why don't they get to stay? I think part of what allows me to stay here is that I work my butt off, you know, and I do things that, you know, maybe I'd rather not do. but I do it because I've seen other people who are sober before me, and I see them doing it. I have incredible men as sponsors in my life. You know, one was already spoken about tonight, Van, who's an incredible example of how Alcoholics Anonymous works, and he gave me a true love for this program and what it has to offer. And the gentleman that I'm with now, Bob W., is another man who does the same thing. You know, he lives and breathes by this program. He's a human being like I am, and you know, he has his soft spots and his weaknesses, but that makes it all the more attainable for me. I'm not following a saint. I'm following a human being, and I learn how to rededicate, and I learn how to rededicate, and I learn how to change my life here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a destination. I don't arrive at 15 years, you know, next April. I don't arrive at 15 years, and then I'm, you know, blessed, and I get to walk on water, and I'll see you guys later on. Alcoholics Anonymous is an opportunity for me to rededicate with heroes and examples, which actually brings me to thanking Mark, wherever he is, for asking me to speak tonight. There are a lot of men and women in this meeting alone, this meeting right here, who are beautiful examples of these principles in our lives. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a program for people who don't want to drink one day at a time. This is not to help me put the plug in the jug. I've done that before. This is a program to help me live safe, sane, and sober, a productive member of society, a productive member of my family, a productive person at work, productive person here at the meetings, all around. And it lets me do that without going crazy, killing myself, someone else, or my final salvation, you know, taking a drink. So here's what I promise you. And I'm sorry this is so rushed, because I really adore this. It's better than sliced bread. I mean, this is the best thing since I don't know what. This is the biggest spiritual movement of the 21st century. It's incredible, and you guys are part of it, and you have an opportunity to participate in it. I promise you, I absolutely promise you with my heart, everything I have to offer, that if you do these things that you see people doing in these rooms, who are doing service, who are working the steps, who are reading with their sponsors and sponsees, if you do these simple things, you can be free. You know, and it's the real freedom is not from those people who are oppressing me and giving me troubles and the banes of my existence. What I'm getting to coming to understand is the real freedom is my connection to my God and freedom from here. And this is something that you've given me. I couldn't do it alone. You've given it to me, and I'm really grateful, so thank you very much.